Maybe you recognize this, especially those of you with young children or grandchildren maybe. I have sometimes that my daughters are playing and I ask them to tidy up, for example, when it's time for dinner. And you ask them another time, and you ask them another time, and they don't seem to hear anything, and they just continue playing. They're so caught up in their playing. And then you think, sometimes they say, have you lost your ears? Why don't you respond? And so, well, at their age, they often understand this in a literal manner. So they say, no, Dad, I do have ears. What do you mean? So, have you lost your ears? That is really what Jesus was saying as well here. He said in verse 8 of the passage we read, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then we might think, of course, everybody had ears to hear. So, what does he mean here? They had been listening to his preaching, right? He had been telling this parable of the sower, and he had this great crowd, and many gathered around him to hear his word. So, of course, they had ears to hear, we might think. Well, did they? Because this section from Luke's Gospel, we read about the parable of the sower. And in each instance, each of the soils receives the seed. Each of the hearts, we read, hears the Gospel. And yet only one of them bears fruit. So on the one hand, this parable can be about our hearts. And that God needs to open our hearts to receive his word. And we might speak about fruit bearing. But this morning, and that's why I read a larger passage, I want to focus on this theme of hearing, because it appears again and again in this chapter, in all these different parables and instances, that Jesus focuses on this theme of hearing. So let's focus on that this morning. And I've summarized the message as such, God sends us the best message ever, so we better listen. God sends us the best message ever, so we better listen. And to work that out, I'd like to use a simple model that people use to describe communication. You have a sender, and then a message goes to a receiver. And that's the three thoughts, basically. First, we will consider the sender of this message. Secondly, us, the receivers. And thirdly, and in conclusion, really, what is that great message that is given to us? So first of all, let us consider who is the sender of this great message. And we can read about that in verse 11. There we read, as Jesus explains the parable of the sower, he says, the seed is the word of God. And at that moment, Jesus himself was the sower. He was scattering the seed in the hearts of the people listening to him. And even this morning now, as I get this chance to speak from God's word to you, I am sowing seed in your hearts, and your hearts are receiving this seed. And so let us think a bit more first about how God is speaking. And first, how he did so throughout church history and the history of his dealing with the world. And it basically starts at creation already. We read in Genesis 1 verse 3, then God said that let there be light. That is how God created and ordered the world. He spoke to his creation and it listened. It obeyed his voice. And then God spoke with Adam in the garden. And after the fall, he kept speaking. And that in itself is grace. He kept speaking to Adam and Eve. And then onwards with Noah and Abraham. And he called Abraham after it had gone wrong again. And he spoke with him and he called him. And then all throughout the Old Testament, we see how God speaks to his people through the prophets. And how they get this office, this burden to share the word of God with the people. And they often start their messages with, thus says the Lord. As they are bringing his word with the authority that goes with it. And all throughout the Testament, the Old Testament, this period, God spoke in that way to his people. And often that were words of judgment when the people didn't really listen. And the prophets had to warn them, you will be going into exile if you don't repent and believe. And often the people didn't listen. But there were also words of promise already before the exile, for example, that people were hearing about their return, that they would be brought back. And they heard prophecies about the coming Savior, the Messiah. And then we know, of course, that Jesus came to be that promised one, the Messiah. And we read in John 1 that he is the Word himself, the Word becoming flesh, to dwell among us, to be with us on this earth, to live as a man. And so this climax in how God speaks to his people, we find that summarized in the opening verses to the letter to the Hebrews. There God says, the writer writes basically, he says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And so God speaks to us, to his people, to the people he has created through his Son. And then we read how Jesus spoke those words. In Matthew 7 it says, the people were astonished at Jesus' teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So the people heard that. They heard his words, and it was unlike all their other teachers. No, he spoke words with a divine authority. But God didn't just speak in history. He still speaks today. It doesn't end with Jesus. When he went up to heaven, God didn't stop speaking. No, it continues because God gave his apostles and the writers of Scripture. And we have God's words now written down for us. And we believe in the inspiration of Scripture, that God spoke these very words and that he used these writers to speak his words to us. In 2 Peter 1 we read, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And thus now today, when God's word is faithfully proclaimed to you, and when the Bible is read and truly explained, God speaks to us. It's God's very own words that we have here. And that gives us a very straightforward application straight away. How do you listen to a sermon? And how do we read God's word? Do we have the reverence that is suitable for such a great sender, that God himself speaks to you? And do you listen with that attitude and that mind, a reverence? To illustrate this, let's think about the Israelites at Mount Horeb. God spoke the Ten Commandments to them, and all the people heard God speaking with the thunders and the cloud on the mountain. But they are so afraid then, we read in Exodus 20, the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear. Let not God speak with us, lest we die. They are so afraid that they hear God's voice, and they see and they feel God's awesomeness, his greatness, his majesty. And therefore they ask Moses to be the mediator. They don't dare to listen themselves. And well, then you might say, well, that was the Old Testament, right? We now live in a different time. And yes, on the one hand, that's right. People can now relate to God through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit that has been poured out since Pentecost. But God didn't change. So yes, we have access to God the Father in a very intimate way now through Jesus. But God is still that holy, holy, holy God, and the creator of the universe who spoke and creation obeyed. And so reverence is appropriate as we listen to God's word, as to a respected father. Think about, if you would be friends with the Queen, would you speak to her in the same way as you would speak to your best friend or your child, in a way with jokes and quipping, or would you be a more reverent? And so, also in the New Testament, we see this. Again, the writer to the Hebrews, he reflects on that giving of the law on Mount Sinai in the Old Testament. And he compares that to our situation in the New Covenant now. He says in Hebrews 12, you have not come to Sinai, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to God, the judge of all, to Jesus, the mediator of the New Covenant. And then a few verses onwards, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? For our God is a consuming fire. And so he says, yes, still, God is that great God. And we get to listen and see that you do not refuse him who speaks. And so when we hear such words, it should make us reconsider how we approach God's word. That we should never do so in a casual or a flippant manner. But there's a second thing to consider. We should not just listen with reverence, but we should also listen with attentiveness and discernment. Are we really hearing God speak? Or are we listening to the preacher's own words? Because it's your responsibility as a congregation as well to check if the preacher is really preaching you God's words. Because only when the Bible is faithfully opened up, we are to listen to the preacher as the voice of God himself. So maybe you have heard about phishing in recent years, with a PH, not with an F. These emails that you get from dubious persons. They claim to be your bank or the government, and they want you to fill in your details, and they want to steal your information, for example, or they want you to give money to a certain cause. These emails, they are a great example of the danger of a false message. These emails, they show that there is a great danger when the sender is fake, when it's not the true sender. And similarly, when the preacher pretends to bring you God's word, but actually it are his own words, you will be misled, and you might do things or believe things that are not required of you or are even wrong. And therefore, banks or the government, they warn us, beware of these phishing practices. Beware, there are people sending you a message claiming to be from us. And so we are to be looking out for the true marks of their correspondence. They show us, this is how we will send you a message. This is what we will ask you, and we will never do such and such. So be careful. And like with a banknote, the best way to recognize a false one, or the many ways in which they can make a false one, is to know the true one very well. And so with these emails, know what our correspondence looks like. And so with God's word, know what it sounds like. Know how God speaks to us. Know its marks. Know how to recognize God's voice. As Jesus said in John chapter 1, the sheep hear his voice, the voice of the good shepherd. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out all of his own sheep, he goes before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And so for us, recognizing God's voice, that is key. And how do you recognize someone's voice? Well, by knowing them well, by spending time with them. And so it's very clear to us, we should study the scriptures, and we should read our Bibles daily, and we should know what God's voice sounds like when he speaks to us, to not fall into a trap of someone claiming to speak to you God's word and secretly giving you his own words. So now we have thought about God as the sender of the great message. And he is our God, he is our creator, and he has authority, and he sends his messengers to us, and he sends you a preacher, and he gives you the Bible to read for yourself. And therefore we should listen or read with reverence, with attentiveness, and with discernment. And so that already really shows us a bit of the responsibility that we have in dealing with this word, on our end, as receivers of the message. And that is what we now will zoom in a bit more. Secondly, the receiver of the message. Let's look a bit more at this parable of the sower. If you look down on verses 11 to 15, you see that all four soils receive the seed. All four, they hear the word. And yet not all bear fruit. Only that fourth soil bears a good crop, produces a crop. And there we see the difference between hearing and listening, if you want to put it that way. Verse 15 says, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a good and noble heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. And the next paragraph, verse 18, therefore take care how you hear. Take heed how you hear. And in the next paragraph, there's a similar thing, verse 21. No, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. And so let us focus first on our responsibility as receivers. That we have the responsibility to listen to God's words. When you look up the word listen in a dictionary, it says a slightly different thing than when you look it up the word hear. When you look for listen, you find explanations like to make an effort to hear something, or attentively hearing a person speaking, or to obey, or to yield to advice, or to follow admonition. All these things, they show us that listening is much more than just hearing. When we truly listen, we follow, we obey, we do. A while ago, when we had our Bible study in our own church, the fire alarm went off. And there were about 10, 12 of us around the table. And everybody just stayed there. And we sat and we waited and we waited. And so did we really hear the fire alarm? Well, of course, no one of us is deaf and having hearing impairments. So in one sense, we did. But we didn't obey. And we didn't do anything. So none of us jumped up. And hearing without doing is not true hearing. And in this we see the danger of a false message again. With these phishing emails, they mislead you about the sender. But in this example, you see that a false message can numb you to a true one. We heard so many false alarms, and it regularly is triggered, that we completely ignore it now. So something that is given to us with a great and important goal to save lives, we ignore it. We are numbed to the importance of this message. And the same holds with false teaching. When you hear false teaching for a long time, and the word of God falsely explained, it will numb you to the truth, and it will create blockades in your mind of hearing God's word rightly. And so again, we see our responsibility in checking it. Is he saying really the word of God? And search it, and research it, and study it. Hearing without doing is not true hearing. Yeah. Once more about children, it's so easy when you discuss this topic to use them as examples. For example, again, when you tidy up, when it's tidy up time and it's dinner time, and you say to them, well, tidy up now, and nothing happens. So on the one hand, I said, you might say in your own frustration, do you even have ears? But sometimes it's nicer to test them. And you say in the same pitch and tone, and volume, you say, would you like ice cream? And then suddenly, oh yeah, woo! And so clearly they heard your words before. But somehow our minds help us to filter out the things we don't like. And on the one hand, that can be very difficult. When you are in a restaurant and wanting to discuss with someone, or in a great crowd and you want to have a conversation, it's really a useful skill to filter out all those other things that you don't like and to pay attention to the one person you are speaking with. But it's also something to keep in mind when we listen to God's word. Because it shows us if we don't have a desire to really hear it, our minds will wander and we get distracted and we hear other things and we don't even hear it. And so when you sit in church, are you eager to hear God speak? Do you come here prepared and desiring to hear God's word? Because when your desire is low, our minds are so easily distracted. And so you have to fight that actively, to do your best and make an effort to hear it. As that one person in the restaurant, I want to hear you, and I don't want to be distracted. It's similar in the third soil in the parable. They hear the word, but then it is choked by the pleasures of the world, the riches and the burdens. And so the word, it suffocates. And it dies, and it doesn't produce a fruit. And so it might us. All the things from our daily lives, they might burden us, and they might occupy our minds. But when we hear God's word, and when we hear the preaching of God's word, we should pay attention, and we should try to focus on that for a moment. And so pray for the help of the Spirit, because we can't do that on our own. And keep your Bible open, or take notes, or after the service, talk to someone, because speaking about it helps you to retain what you have heard. Anything really, you know best how you know how to listen attentively, and so make an effort to do so. But distraction is not the only danger. Our desire can be weak, and therefore we get distracted, but our desire can also be on the wrong place, on the wrong things. And that we have an example of that when Paul writes to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 4. There he writes that Timothy should preach the word in season and out of season. And then he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. And they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And so when we discussed the sender, we considered, are we really hearing God speak? Or is it someone else speaking to me now, his own words? But now we should ask the question to ourselves, do we desire to hear God speak? Or do we actually desire to hear that human speak to us? And do we rather have a nice anecdote or a story or something that makes us laugh? Because when we hear God's word speaks to us, that might also bring some difficult things. It might confront us. And we might hear a rebuke maybe that we needed to hear, or something challenging us. The Bible faithfully preached will inevitably be offensive to a sinner like you and me. For we need to hear, and we will hear from the Bible, that we can't do it ourselves. And that we need to look away from ourselves. And that is something really counterintuitive. And we don't do that of ourselves. And then before we can be comforted from the word and be given hope and joy and peace, we need to know that in ourselves we cannot stand before that holy divine sender of the message. But then when we do so, we get that great hope. We get great comfort and we get to hear about Christ. And salvation through him. And the joy of knowing God and living with him. And so that brings us to the other side of the coin, really. So we receive God's message, and we are responsible to do so, to listen carefully, to listen attentively, to listen reverently, and yet in ourselves we cannot do this. From ourselves, we cannot hear truly. We would fail to listen to God in the right way. The fall has affected everything, also our ability to hear and our desire to hear. And God sovereignly works in that as well, as we see in verse 10. Jesus said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." And Jesus cites from the prophet Isaiah there in that verse. And that prophet was commanded to speak to the people, and he heard right away, "They will not listen to you." And God had responded to the hardness of these people and their unbelief by hardening them more and removing their understanding from them. And we see then hearing they may not understand. And the same thing is really said in verse 18. Whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. If you keep on going, refusing to listen and wanting to obey your own words, there might come a point, we learn from this verse, is that God says, yeah, and now you won't hear. And all we need then is God's grace. We have the responsibility to hear, so make every effort. It's the same as with faith. You are commanded to believe, and yet we know that only God can really give it. But those things are two sides of the same coin. We cannot let the one remove the other. And the same is here. God's word says to us, listen carefully. Take heed how you hear. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. But yet realize then, the Holy Spirit really works in your heart to do so. Then when he works, our hearts and our ears will be receptive to God's word. So never think that you can do it in your own strength and that you are smart enough or willing enough to do so. And Paul writes the same thing really to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2, he says, "No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." He says, you need the Spirit. But the great thing is, when you believe in Christ, you will receive the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to us, all believers. And so he helps you, and you have that power given by God to listen to his words. He doesn't stop there. He gives that graciously to you. But we also see then what the importance of prayer, and you're continuing to ask for the Holy Spirit's help when you read your Bible at home, when you go to church to hear the preaching of the word. You should pray that you might have an open heart and an understanding mind and open ears, and be that you won't be distracted. That you hear what it truly says. And then I also want here to pray for the preachers, that you pray for them. Because not just when I stand here, but also in the week ahead, coming up to this Sunday, I need the Spirit's help to understand the word rightly, such that I can proclaim it then to you. And the same for your pastor. Pray for him that he will understand the word rightly and that he will live close to that and that he might understand it. There is a small little booklet written by Christopher Ash. It's called Listen Up, and it's about listening to God's word. And it's a good read if you can get hold of it. He writes in that booklet, "Preaching that makes a church Christ-like under grace takes a double miracle. One, the sinful preacher must be shaped by grace to preach. But secondly, sinful listeners must be awakened by grace to listen together week by week in humble expectancy. Only God can do this. So praying for the before the sermon is not a formality. Unless God works, the whole thing will be a waste of time. But God loves to change us through preaching. And he loves it when we pray to be given fresh repentance, renewed faith, joyful obedience, and a corporate Christ-likeness in the local church. So let us pray for this with confidence." Did you hear that? God loves to change you through preaching. And then finally, how does he do that? What is then preached? What is that great message that is so powerful to change? That message with a great divine sender, having a great authority that demands our reverence and discernment when we listen to him. A message that is so worthy to be listened to, so powerful to change. So that is, in conclusion, the message. Paul wrote, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." The power of God to salvation. And salvation is what we desperately need. We cannot hear by ourselves, we just heard. We need God's grace. We need salvation. And remember how I just read from 1 Corinthians. The natural person does not accept the things of God, for they are folly to him. And that is our state when we are born. We are a natural person. And we don't hear God's word. It's folly to us even. From ourselves, we rather listen with these itching ears and want to hear a nice story and want to be said how good you are. But the Bible shows us who we truly are. The Bible shows us that we are sinners in rebellion against our Creator. In Psalm 95, we hear it clearly. And it also shows us the right response. "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as these Israelites in their rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness when your fathers tested me." So we hear it. God made us to live for him. We are his. And yet we fail. We are in rebellion of ourselves. We sin every day. And we don't want to listen to God. And we rather hear our own voice. And then in that sin, the Bible also tells us the wages of sin is death. But, Paul continues then in Romans 6, "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." But there is hope. There is good news, the best news ever that has been proclaimed. Christ himself, the word becoming flesh, he is the good news. He is the greatest message. The word, he dwelt among us. And he gives us salvation. He made known the Father, he says. And we may now all truly hear now that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried. And he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And Paul later writes what that means. He says why these facts of history are so important. Why everybody needs to hear them and believe them. He writes to that same church in Corinth, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Christ, he bore our sin, and now we can be right with God. Because of Christ, we can be declared not guilty before God. We are free, for Christ paid with his own life for the forgiveness of our sins. And there is so much more. It's not just that your slate is wiped clean and it's done now. But no, he restores us to the communion with God that Adam and Eve had in paradise. And even better, the full communication with God. By giving us his Holy Spirit, we can begin to listen to him spiritually with our ears open and hear God's word speak to our hearts. And so I want to repeat those words to you. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, but be reconciled to God. He will save those who believe. In Romans 10, Paul writes, believing, faith, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And so true listening, as we have considered it now, hearing and obeying, truly listening to God's word, it will be blessed with an everlasting life, because you will be right with God. And when you hear and obey, when you truly listen, when you do accordingly, then Jesus calls you his brother and his mother. We are part of his family. And it means that we will for eternity be with him. Everlasting communion with God. And what a great hope that is for all you who believe. God himself, he speaks to us. So hear him, obey him. He gives us listeners, the receivers of that message, that responsibility. But the message is so great, who wouldn't want to hear that? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Let us now sing of that great message with hymn number 120. Great is the gospel of our glorious God. Hymn number 120.